It was kind of like one of the quotes that's been circulating on the internet is, a year ago, you wish you would have started today.
Yes.
And so that's what I always say to people, no matter what the idea, no matter how much work you think it is going to be, start today, do something small towards that dream or goal that you have.
Yeah.
Like, get started.
Okay. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh.
And now, the gist from gist.com.
I beg my friend, help me light it.
Yes, and we're back at it again with another one. Welcome to episode 2 of the Gist podcast. It's Lola here from gist.com. How are you doing today? Was really good. I hope you're having a good day wherever you're listening to this, whether in your car or at the gym or at work or at home or with friends. Whatever you're doing, wherever you are, thank you for inserting the Gist podcast in your eardrums. Today's episode is going to be great. I hope you guys really enjoy it. We're going to be talking to a good friend and business owner, Bibi Nanyo, who's out in Abidjan. She is in the Ivory Coast, and it is going to be a really, really interesting conversation. And you heard a little bit from her right before the intro, so that was just a preview of what to expect with her interview. But before we get to that, as you know, on the show, we've done 2 episodes so far. We've done the intro episode, which really lays out why the Gist, or how the Gist podcast came to be, what we're trying to do here in terms of promoting stories and people and just real life, you know, just like trying to find a way to connect and give a voice and give a platform to the stories of different people and the causes and just different things. Don't let me start going into why this podcast came about. I definitely talk about it in the intro. And then in episode 1, the first official episode we had with Lyle G, fashion designer, and there has been a lot of positive feedback from that. So if you didn't get a chance to listen to the interview with Lyle, you should definitely listen to it. It was really a good time. It was good stuff. And hearing her story and the stuff about her parents supporting her and all of that, it was very cool. It was very good. So yes, go listen to those 2 episodes. Now, for what we're about to do, before we get into the interview with Bibi, as you know, we take some time at the top of the show to promote good music. I cannot sing for my life. However, I know good music when I hear it. And we had just put on this song. The song that we have today for the Fast 45, which is 45 seconds of a good song, a pick, a banger, a hit. The song that we have today, I just put it on our SoundCloud not too long ago, and it already has almost 1,000 plays. It's got almost 100 downloads. It's got all kinds of likes and reposts and all of that, and I think the people have spoken. I think they know what a banger is when they hear it, so I'm going to rock with what the people have chosen, what they're obviously enjoying. It's called, this song for the Fast 45 is called Soke by Burna Boy. The beat, the vibe that you get from it is just chill. Even if you don't understand your vibe or you don't understand what he's saying, like, you can't help but feel it. Like, it's just dope. It's just dope. So I'm gonna play it for you for the Fast 45. Today's Fast 45 is Burna Boy, Soke. Here it is after the click. Enjoy. I love that song. Is that not a good song? I didn't even want to stop playing it. That's how good it was. I was just going to keep going. But no, this is the Fast 45. That was the Fast 45 pick of the week. It is Burna Boy, Soke. You already know that I'm going to leave the download links for you in the show notes. And it's on our SoundCloud page. So if you want, you can head over to just SoundCloud page. It's username is gist.com, gistdotcom. And it's already there. You'll see it's like the first song. Lots of plays, lots of hits. Shouts to the producer of that song. People don't always talk about the producers, but the producer on that song, his name is Orby, or her name. I don't even know. Guy or girl. But it's so good. The production quality on that song is just so good. So Orby, like, yes, okay? Good job. All right, so we're going to go into this interview with Bebe. I'm going to, in the intro, you'll hear a little bit about her, her story, and it's just really fascinating what she's been able to do. She was raised in the States and Abidjan with roots in West Africa. Her mom is American. Her dad is from Ivory Coast. After law school, she went to Abidjan and started a natural hair, natural living business, and it's just really taken off. This interview was done back in 2014, and since then, she's been on CNN. She's been on so many different publications. It's just crazy. So just enjoy this. I really enjoyed doing this interview, so I hope you enjoy listening. Check it out. Here's an interview with Bebe Nanya. So, welcome to the show, Bebe. For those of you listening, we have a very special guest today on the Just Radio podcast show. It's a friend of mine who's been a very close sister for years and years and years, and she has just bloomed right before my very eyes to become this, like, guru. She's amazing, and I'm so happy to be able to bring her on and have her share some of her wisdom and her journey with all of us. So, without further ado, Miss Bebe Nanya.
Hello.
Hello, butterflies.
Thank you, Madame Lola. Thank you. Thank you so much for having me on the show.
I'm so excited. I'm so excited. I think this is going to be great. So, like I said, you've blossomed. You're a lawyer. You are a Fulbright scholar. You are a natural hair guru, healthy living guru. I remember when a couple of years ago we were hanging out, and you were talking about how you just started making smoothies, and like a green smoothie will save your life. And I'm looking at you like, what is this girl talking about? Now
it's very serious out here.
Right. And now healthy green smoothies are saving people's lives and skin and hair and all of that. So I'm looking forward to delving into that on the episode, on this show. So are you ready?
Good. Yes, I'm ready.
Let's do it. So just give us a backstory. Like, give us a backstory about who you are, what you do, and like how you've gotten to this point.
Okay. So pretty much my dream has always been to be an attorney, a lawyer. I went to law school, graduated 2012. And then I had a very interesting experience happen to me. This is how I ended up doing what I'm doing now. I failed the bar, which was a really big blow to me. And I always say, like, to me, the way that I learn and I pay attention is pain. Other people, their lessons are different. For me, it has to hurt so I can go inside of myself and, like, really think about what's hurting me. What is it that I need to work on? So after the period where I found out that I failed the bar, I kind of became a recluse. And I got really, really close to God. And I started doing things that I kind of left by the wayside, like meditating, doing affirmations, doing forgiveness work for my life, and then just taking care of my body and my mental health. And so it kind of blossomed from there. I would go to work every day and people would be like, what is that green stuff you're drinking? Why is your hair healthy and luscious? And why are your twists big? Like, what are you doing? And I was like, this is how I live my life. Like, doesn't everybody live their lives like this? They're like, no. So that's how the idea for my site and blog came. Like, okay, well, I'll just share my experiences. Like, what do I do to save money during the week? And where do I get my collard greens to make my green juices? What do I put in my hair? So that's pretty much how it started. And I also wanted to start like an empowerment section of my blog, because I realized you can do anything in life, but if you aren't empowered and you aren't inspired, you're not going to get off dead center.
Absolutely.
So I also wanted to talk about that, you know, and my experience with that, and just in terms of the successes and the failures that I've had in my life and how empowerment has played into those. So that's pretty much how I've gotten into my website, OMG, I Love Your Hair. That's how everything started. It was pretty much out of pain and failure.
Right. So I'm glad that you said what your website is, because I realized we didn't say it at the beginning. But yes, it's OMG, I Love Your Hair, and it's spelled I-L-O-V-E, your Y-O-U-R, and then hair, H-A-I-R.com.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that when I say where you've come, like where you are now, that's it, right? The website is where you are now in your journey from 2000 and I think on your website it said like 2007 you started this journey.
Yeah, that's like when I started my hair journey, right. Trying to figure out what the hell was going on top of my head.
Girl,
I was completely lost, and like right. During that time, like YouTube was still kind of sort of coming out. I mean, blogs were still kind of sort of coming out. Like, that business is booming now. But when I first started, like literally 05, when I was in Paris during my junior year abroad, and I was like, okay, I guess we'll learn how to do this thing on top of my head.
Right.
And it was really, really hard, Lola, in the beginning. Like, I wanted to give up. I was just like, oh my God. But I stuck through it for a year, 2 years, 3 years, and kept going. And like, I think that's also a testament to one of life's lessons. Like, whatever you start in the beginning is hard as hell, and it hurts, you hate it, like you're uncomfortable. But if you stick with it, it'll get better. Right. It won't get better overnight, but like you look up, a year has gone by, 2 years. Like, I look at my hair and I'm just like, I'm in amazement. Like, wow, this is all mine and I know how to care for it.
Right.
But
right.
It was like through trial and error and not right. giving up.
I'm going to make sure to put a picture up with this podcast, with this episode, so people can just see, because your hair is like beautiful and big and bodacious, and it's completely yours.
Yes,
and it's like your girl. I mean, I think I feel like I can confidently speak for many African women, many black women.
Yeah.
Our hair issues. I'm having a hair issue right now, today, as I'm talking
to
you
about it, like as we go through the podcast. But like, I'm doing a documentary here in Ivory Coast about that, because so many African women here, like, literally run me over with their cars, like, give me all of your hair. Like, is that all your hair? Which is what the documentary is called. Is that all your hair? Because it's just like, they don't believe like your hair can grow. I didn't. But the thing is, like, I can't even blame them, because I never believed it, Lola.
Right.
Like, I never believed that my hair could be healthy and long.
Right.
But I saw one of my hair gurus on YouTube, and she was like, she made me believe. She made me a believer. And I was like, I can do it too.
She could do it, I could do it too. That's so interesting, because you just mentioned that you're in Ivory Coast, you're in Abidjan. And when I was in, I don't know how it is in Ivory Coast, but when I was in, or Abidjan, the city itself, when I was in Lagos, I noticed that barely any women had their own hair out.
Exactly.
And
it's the same here. It's the same thing here.
I went to Nigeria when I had a low cut, and then I grew out my low cut, and I started doing locks. And, like, people would say, oh, it looks nice on you, but I could never do it.
Could do it, exactly.
And I was just like, you could do whatever you want.
And I still get those comments, too. But
yeah.
But the thing is, like, but that's how people, like, that's what they believe. Like, and women here will be like, oh, you have mad hair. We don't got hair like that. And I'm like, I'm straight 100% black, 50% African from the continent, and African-American from the States. Like, it's just the knowledge and the tools and how to do it, and patience.
Right. I love that on your website you call hair your crown. Can you talk a little bit about that?
I call it my crown because it transformed. Because when I moved to the States when I was 12, like, I hated my hair. Like, I was like, Mom, please, I need to get it pressed out. Can I get a perm? Let me put some extensions in. It wasn't a crown. And so as I got older and I got more knowledge about what hair means to a woman, even in the biblical sense, they talk about it. It's like your crown of glory. And so wearing it like a crown, that you're proud of it, is the hair, the natural hair that God gave you. Like, there's no shame about it. You just need to learn the proper tools to care for it. But literally, you're a queen. It's your crown.
Right. I love that. And I think, just speaking for myself, I just feel like it takes a lot for you to get to that point where you consider your hair your crown and not your burden, you know? I know since high school, when I started doing my hair by myself, it was almost just like, what am I going to do with this thing? What am I going to do with it? Until, like, in recent years, it's become, how can I love my hair more? Like, how can I want my own hair out. Like, I want the hair that God gave me out. I mean, I still do my, like, my short do's and whatnot, but even now, like, I'm focused on trying to grow my hair back. And and I think it also it goes into just a whole different way of living, you know?
Exactly.
Wanting to live a little bit more authentic and wanting to live a little bit more healthy, you know? You start to want to take care of your hair, then you want your skin, and, you know, you can't be, if you're eating cheeseburger every day, your skin is probably going to...
going crazy.
Yes.
Like, what are you doing?
Yes,
this is not cool for us.
Exactly. So let's shift a little bit from hair to, like, your, so what you're doing in terms of, like, the whole body and the smoothies and whatnot.
Okay, so like again, like I said in the beginning of the interview, like for me, the best way that I learn is pain. Right. And I realized that that's just how I am. And so after graduating from college, I moved to Atlanta and I started having digestive issues, like serious digestive issues, point where the doctor told me that I'd have to get surgery. And I was like, pause. No one's opening up my body. Yeah. So that's pretty much, So that's pretty much how, like, I remember leaving the doctor's office and being like, nobody's cutting my body open. And going to do research, like, how do I take care of this? How do I fix this naturally? And it was just like, I had to change the way that I ate. So, like, the first thing that I did was take a blender to work. Mm. Like, that was the first thing that I did. I got a little $20 blender from Walmart and took it to work. And every morning, like, I would bring fruits in and vegetables and blend my smoothie up. And that's what I would have for breakfast. Oh, like, that's, like, the first thing that I started doing. And I would cook all my meals. I was like, I don't need to eat out anymore like that because I can't control what's going in my body. And so I started eating a lot more fish, a lot more grains. And that's kind of how the whole process started. And then the healthy eating really got revamped and, like, vamped up when I went to law school because I heard about, like, the weight that you gain because you're so stressed. And I was like, that's not going to be me. So I started making green smoothies, green juices, big old salads. And a lot of blogs were really, really instrumental for that. And I mean, later on, we'll talk about some of the books that were instrumental and inspiring to me. And one of those was Queen of Fua's Sacred Woman.
Okay.
And I remember my second semester, my first year in law school, I stopped eating chicken.
Mm-hmm.
And I would just eat fish. And then I dabbled a little bit in raw food. And so, like, I really have to say, you have to listen to your body. My body was like, listen, I will disrespect you unless you take care of me. Like, that's exactly what had happened when I was at the doctor. And they were like, well, either you can fix this or we will fix it. And I was like, right. Well, I'm going to fix it. So, yeah.
Right. I can't even imagine, like, having to have surgery off of, like...
Yes, Lola.
You know?
Like, off of... It was very serious. It was, right. That was my inspiration. Like, okay.
Right.
I have to take care of this.
I would say that's, like, a defining moment. That was, like, a pivotal moment for you. Yep. It was, like, change.
I would never forget. Like, I took... I went and made my doctor's appointment, left work, went, talked to the lady where she was done. She mentioned the surgery, and I remember leaving, like, you will never see me again here.
Right. I can't... That was... It sounds like... But, I mean... I almost feel like things like that are important to have because it just, it's like an inflection point, I think that's the word, you know, when like everything changes, right? You start to do things differently.
Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's awesome. So what would you, if someone were to, you know, let's say you were at an event or you were somewhere and someone were to come up to you and be like, well, what do you do? Like, how do you define what you do and how you impact the world through your work?
I've actually been thinking about that because, like, I've been told, like, I need to come up with my pitch, like, my elevator pitch for people if I'm, like, in an elevator with, like, important people. And they're like, so, what do you do?
Right.
And I'm still working on it. I haven't really come up with the perfect thing, but I call myself kind of like a modern-day hippie. I'm an entrepreneur. Mm-hmm. I give advice on health, fasting. I also do empowerment sessions. I talk about hair. So it's really difficult for me to pinpoint what I do, but the way that I influence the world is make people step out of fear to embrace their best lives.
I love that. You know, my Shiro, Oprah, my boo, who I hope to meet one day. I will just give her a big hug. But yeah, I mean, her motto is live your best life. Like, everything that she does is with the intention of helping people live their best life. And I just think that's so, like, simple and so awesome. Like, it doesn't need to be any more elegant or inelegant. Like, just, it's just, that's what it is. Like, we have a set amount of time on this earth, so why not make every day as best as you possibly can, you know?
Exactly.
That's fabulous.
There's a time limit, like, on this thing. It doesn't go forever.
Right.
Time limits. You have to take advantage of every single moment.
Right, and we talk about that. We talk about that often. Mm-hmm. When we have our sister girl meetups.
Indeedy. You gotta stay inspired and empowered and fired up, man.
Yeah.
Those are essential.
It's important to have good people around you. Definitely important to have good people around you. So tell me, like, what have been three highlights of your journey so far, the work that you do?
Okay. I think one of the, well, I don't want to say the biggest one, but which was really intense and amazing for me was going to speak in Guinea, in Conakry, which is the capital of Guinea, mm-hmm. at one of the American embassy. And I did a 3-day workshop on natural hair, how to care for it, how to wash it, how to style it, also on self-esteem, empowerment, and skin bleaching, the dangers of skin bleaching.
Ooh, skin bleaching. Yeah. That is a...
It's intense. Like, in the States, we don't really have that issue, but here on the continent, we have an intense issue with it.
Right.
So talking about what I've noticed here in Côte d'Ivoire, what they're dealing with in Guinea, and so that workshop was really powerful for me, and one of the highlights, I think, of my journey, and seeing the room filled with 100 to 150 to 200 women engaged. I also showed the film Dark Girls. Mm-hmm. We had a conversation about colorism because it also exists in West Africa.
Right.
And we played games and we talked about the different adjectives people use to describe each other, friends, family, society. It was really, really powerful.
That's amazing. What was the reception like to your suggestions about bleaching, about, you know, taking care of yourself? Like, what? Because I feel like, and I'll just say because
it was
like we don't like to talk about it. Let me tell you a quick story before.
You
have to. Right, you have to. Let me tell you a quick story. I think we say we have to because we're American in that sense. You know what I mean? Like, in America, you kind of like are taught to like confront the issue.
Right.
Whereas.
Like, please sweep it under.
Right. Our African side is just like, I beg. But let me tell you a quick story before, like, which makes me bring up the question. When I was in Lagos, when I was living in Lagos, I went to you know how there's, like, corner stores, like, all around, people who are, like, within a block of each other, everybody's selling kind of like the same thing. So I went to the one, I went to the closest one to my house because I needed to get body wash and I didn't have a chance to go to the store yet. I was going to go to the store after work, so I just went to get some body wash. And I go into the store, and let me tell you, like, every single body wash there had that that skin bleaching, hydro whatever.
Yep, hydroquinone.
Right, exactly. Every single body wash there. Every single one had it. I'm telling you, this lady had like a wall full of body washes. Yeah, wonderful smelling things. And I was so like, when I first saw it, I was like, oh, this is great. But then when I looked at the bottle and I saw that, and I'm just like, do you have anything that doesn't have,
that's
you know,
normal.
Bleaching bleaching
normal.
Ingredients in there?
I think my own skin.
I was like, what if I like my skin?
I
was like, what if I don't want to be lighter than I am? And the lady was like, I'm sorry, Ma. I don't have my, everybody likes this one, so this is the one I stock. And I'm just like, I just walked out of there like, what is, like, this is life. Like, this is real life. She's not going to sell things that don't sell. So, obviously.
And it's not just even in West Africa. It also happens in Europe when me and Tashi, one of our mutual friends, a really good friend, we went to the African section of Paris to go get some hair supplies or whatever. And we bought our stuff. And I think the man may have been, like, Lebanese or something. He wasn't African. He's like, oh, I have a little gift for you guys. Oh, you know, you're so cute. And we're like, oh, thank you, hands. It's like a little bag or something. We're like, oh, we'll look at our gift when we get outside. Huh. Me and Tashi take out the gift. It's like a little tube of skin lightening.
Woo! And he said that was a gift. Like, hey, let me help
it
you
was
be
happy about it.
Let me help you be lighter.
Like, I mean, it was very uncomfortable during that section where I did it on skin bleaching. But you know what? It's okay, because unless you're going to kill me, we have to talk about these uncomfortable things.
Right.
We have to.
Absolutely.
Because by putting a Band-Aid on a hemorrhage, you're not doing anything to help it. So we have to have those difficult conversations. And I also come back to that with like my site, because I have a lot of difficult conversations, even with myself and in some of the blog posts that I write, because some of this stuff is painful. But in order for you to get to where you want to be, you have to deal with that stuff.
Right. You can't continue to ignore it. You never get anywhere if you just continue to ignore the problems. I totally agree with you. Okay, so the speaking in Guinea was a highlight. Give us two more highlights.
Okay, so the two more. The other one is when I get like personal emails about the work that I do and about the blog posts that I write. I remember 1 week receiving two really personal emails from people that I read two separate blogs, and one of them was like, you woke me up. I've been sleeping and I didn't know I was sleeping, and you woke me up and it's time for me to make some changes.
Mm-hmm.
And the second one was pretty much the same thing. Like, you woke me up, you spoke the truth. I need to go towards what God is telling me I need to do for my life instead of sleepwalking through my life.
Right.
And so when I get emails like that, I'm like, someone's listening, number one.
Yes.
And the work that I do has an impact on someone's life.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
And then the third one, I'd say, is through the work that I've done, is actually believing that anything is possible.
Mm.
Like, that
has been the marker for me. Actually believing that anything is possible, say that especially working with this documentary, that has been one of the highlights where I really believe that anything is possible. Speaking with women about their experiences with hair since they were like, I don't know, four when they got their first perms, and mm-hmm. not knowing anything else, not ever seeing natural hair because their hair was always permed. And then talking about what kind of damage that does to your psyche when you get older, and the way that you see yourself as being beautiful is with long, straight, permed hair.
Right.
And when your hair starts falling out and you become bald and you can no longer keep up that facade, mm-hmm. you start asking yourself questions. Right. So that's been a really huge highlight. And understanding that we're all the same, I'm really getting that here.
Yeah. We have the same challenges and same wants, and that's awesome.
That's in dreams.
That's awesome. What have been some challenges that you faced along the way?
I'd say they've been more personal challenges in terms of what I deal with. Uh-huh. Focus has been a big one, I think, in terms of challenges along the way, because I have so many ideas, so many great things that I want to birth, but I realize that if I don't focus on one thing at a time, then I'm not going to get anything accomplished. And I think that's been one of my biggest personal challenges, along with the second one, procrastination.
Right.
Always waiting to the last minute to do something, or not believing that I can do it because of fear.
Right.
That's been the second one. And the third one has been people telling me I should do something a certain way and not necessarily believing that what I'm doing is going to be a success. That's been one of the challenges, even from family members. And so that's been interesting. But what I've learned in my life that I've lived so far, I haven't been on the earth that long, but what I've learned is that you kind of have to close your ears to negative things.
Yeah.
Because you're the only one walking on this path, and God is the only one that knows where you're going to go and what kind of successes that you're going to have. No human being can tell you that.
Right.
No human being. So right. Even though it's been a challenge, it's also been a great motivator, great motivator to stay on the path.
Right. I think that's all of those challenges, I mean, I have and continue to have as well. I'm sure people who are listening are probably nodding their head too, like, yeah, absolutely, that affects me. I think the third one is like the most interesting, especially because as a female, as an entrepreneur, you're kind of, I wouldn't say we're all because I, you know, can't be general, but it's just having people to support you, you know, having people who say, who understand what you're doing, number one, or want to do what you're trying to birth, and who can validate it, as opposed to, you know, especially like you're come from a back, I'm sure, like, maybe this is part of your background where it's like, okay, you're going to be a lawyer, you're going to law school. Yeah, okay, so after law school, it's like, what firm are you going to work for?
Yeah, exactly. And when are you going to start having your babies? And when are you going to get married? It's like this whole big thing is like lined up in front of you. And if you don't fall in line with that label, it's like you failed or you've disappointed us.
Exactly.
And so you really, really, really have to have a strong relationship with God or whoever the forces you believe in your life.
Right.
And mental strength.
Right.
Because if not, you'll crumble, because it's really hard not to get support in the beginning, because that's when you need it the most, when you're first starting and you're
right.
Like, I don't know if this thing is going to work, and you yourself are doubting.
Yeah.
That's when you need the most support. But,
right.
It really is interesting to step outside of those labels and what's expected for you and what other people have planned for you and what they think is good enough for you.
Yeah, absolutely. Were your parents, like when you told your parents that you didn't necessarily want to go into a firm, that you wanted to start your own business, what was their reaction?
My mom has always been, both of my parents have always been very supportive of whatever I wanted to do. My mom is like, hey, as long as you can take care of yourself, as long as you're healthy, mentally and physically, like, whatever. Mm-hmm. And then my dad is more traditional, because I can understand that he is a pure-blooded African. He grew up on a continent. He had a lot of things that he had to struggle to accomplish. So for me to kind of step out of the mold and be like, hey, this is what I want to do, he may not necessarily understand it. But I think that as I've proven before in my life, when I've taken the non-traditional path, I will succeed. I have succeeded.
Right.
So it's kind of like showing him, like, hey, it is possible. Like, the non-traditional thing can have success as well.
Right. Yeah. So your mom is African-American?
Yeah, she's African-American, and my dad is African.
Okay, and you mentioned earlier that you grew up in Abidjan. So were you born in Abidjan?
No, I was actually born in California, and then we moved to Abidjan when I was about 2.5, and I spent about 10 years in Abidjan before I moved back to the States.
Awesome. You know that I know this. This is for this is for our listeners. Awesome. I really, if anything, I just hope people after this, they hear our conversation and they just go to your site and just delve more into all the goodies that you have on your site. Because I know, I mean, I've read it and I'm just like, what? Look at my girl. Like, yes. Like, yes.
And I smile when I say it because it's purely spirit driven. Like whatever I share on my site comes from my heart and my spirit. And it's like, this is implanted in me. I need to share it. Do with it what you will.
Right. Do you, and I don't like, cause I've had this experience. I'm curious to know if you have, part of the reason why I started GIST and even this podcast is almost like, I felt like it was put in me to do. Like, it's almost like I not that I didn't have a choice, but it's just like, my friend, this is your contribution. This is what you must do. So it's almost like I just need to do it. And when I don't do it, like when I don't post on the site or when I'm not, you know, trying to figure out who's going to be on the show and how we can bring stories to light, like I almost feel like I'm not, like I start to get anxious, like I'm not doing what I was called to do. Do you feel that way?
Exactly how I feel, because like I'm in the process of redoing my website, creating more programs and more posts, and so I've kind of been low-key on my site, and it's really been eating at me, like, B, you gotta post, like, right. Yo, there's these stories that gotta be told, you gotta post, I'm like, I'm coming, but it's like, right. Literally God places all those ideas and desires in you so you can birth them, and what I've learned, Lola, if you don't do it, somebody else will.
Right.
Because that thing has to come out.
I think before I started to get serious about doing GIST, I was just like, God, please don't give it to somebody else. Please, I will do it. I will do it.
That happens. Let me give you a quick example. Like, when God speaks to you, do it, because else he'll birth it in somebody else. Like, right. Have you heard of, what is this man's thing called? Like, Nollywood, and they have, like, the Netflix version now.
Oh, yeah. America? Iroko. Jason right. Njoku.
Njoku, okay.
Yeah.
So, I ended up meeting with him, working, collaborating with him, and prior to that...
Get out of here! I didn't know that. That I didn't know.
He's, like, amazing. And so, prior to that, I was in law school taking copyright and music law, and one of my friends had passed me his notes because he had taken the class already, and we had to do a final project.
Uh-huh.
Do you know what his final project was?
What?
The same idea that Jason had birthed 2 years later. Like, the exact same thing.
What?
Like, the exact same thing. Like, my mind was literally blown, and I was like, if you don't do it, somebody else will birth it.
Mm-hmm.
That has the passion and the drive to do it, because it has to come out to help people.
Right. And so your friend had the idea, and then 2 years later, Jason had launched. Iroko, like, Iroko TV. Yeah.
It was this idea, like, regrouping all the Nigerian movies into, like, a digital home and downloading it and watching it online and streaming it just like Netflix.
Amazing. Yo, Jason, I, like, follow all the things he's doing. He just started a thing called Spark. It's called Spark, where he's basically like a venture capital company. He's basically putting, well, from what I understand, I don't know him personally, but from what I understand, he's putting money behind really awesome ideas and, like, changing the landscape of business in Nigeria. And I'm just like, yes.
He's really inspiring, because you know his story, like, how he started. He was, like, bumming around at his mom's house in England, like, feeling mad, down, depressed, like, and then he got the idea. Like, his mom and all her friends were, like, watching Nigerian movies. He's like, well, what if I got this all together for people in the diaspora that could watch this under one thing? And I was done.
Right.
Like, I read his story and I was like, wow.
It's amazing. Wow. And it's such to be able to impact culture, because now, like, it's all in one easy place. You can just watch Nollywood, and it spurred other things, right? So people want to, you know, if you're organizing movies, then you can organize music. That's one of the things that we do on GIST. You can organize stories, and it's just, one thing can be the domino, the thing that just incites everything else. So that's awesome. That is so awesome. Tell us a little bit about your mentors and who've been your inspiration.
Okay, let me pull up my list, because I had to do a list for this one, so I'll name too many.
Okay.
So I have
four of them. I'll name the last one, which is the most important one, later. Uh-huh. So the first one is Marie Forleo. I remember we spoke about this. She does B-School. She's an online marketer. She helps women and people build their ideal lives through online businesses.
Right.
And so my site and my idea for my business pretty much birthed itself through taking B-School. And it's a six-week program, and she goes through every single thing with you. I love her. She's pretty much amazing.
Nice. I've heard of Marie.
We've talked about her.
Yeah.
And the other one is, she just passed, Maya Angelou.
Woo!
I love her because Lola, when I think about her, she, like, her story and her life teaches you, like, life is cumulative. Mm. You can be anybody you want to be. This woman was a cable car driver, she was an author, she was a pimp, she was a dancer, she was all these things in her lifetime, and it was okay, and to understand that she had struggles too, she had issues too, but she ended up being a titan. Like, that's it. So
absolutely,
for me, looking at her, she's one of my mentors. And then another lady called Queen Afua, she wrote a book called Sacred Woman. And that's a book that I also started reading when I got more into juicing and raw food and not eating meat and chicken, and meditating and honoring myself as a woman and my spirit, my feminine spirit as a woman. Mm-hmm. She was instrumental in that. It was her. And then there's also Louise Hay. I love her. She's, I think she's like in her 80s now, but she's into positive thinking, empowerment. You can, your thoughts affect your life. I love her. Her book, which I'll talk about later, really helped me change my life. And then lastly is my mom. Like, she is one of the most important mentors and inspirations in my life because she shows me that it's okay to be different.
Right.
Out of all her family members, her family, like, she was the one that moved away from home. She traveled to Africa, like, in the 70s when nobody was doing that. And she thought she was crazy. Just living, like, her best life and just enjoying life and just being fully her.
Right.
So, which has been inspiring to me as her daughter.
Right. I love, one thing I love about your mom is that she's just, like, she not only encourages you to be you, and by you, I mean, like, anybody. Like, when we were around for your graduation, she was just celebrating the people that we were. Yes. That is her. And it's just so amazing. Like, when you could let your hair down and just be yourself around somebody. And she was like, yes, girls, yes.
Imagine how much happier and fulfilled and more authentic we could be if we could just be.
Yes. Yes, and not be anything for anyone, but just be. Exactly. Yeah. Absolutely. If you weren't doing what you were doing now, what would you be doing?
Okay. So I picked three things.
Okay.
I would probably be a regular traditional lawyer, work for a firm, go in front of a judge and have clients. Or I would travel the world for money. I don't know how I would do it, but I love traveling and seeing new places and meeting new people.
Yeah.
And then lastly, I would own a smoothie and juice shop.
Ooh, nice. Yeah,
like, I would really own a smoothie and juice shop and have people come by and be like, hey, what issues are you having?
Yeah.
You have irritable bowel syndrome? Here's what you need for that. That's why you're so cranky.
Right. I feel like you can do that in the journey that you're on right now, like the path that you're on right now.
I'm going to be launching a juice and smoothie line soon. I'm working on it.
Very nice. Excuse me. We're talking about investment opportunities offline.
Yes, indeed, we shall.
Awesome. What's a quote or words of wisdom that you've heard or, you know, have come across that have really influenced you along the way?
I saw this on someone that I follow on Facebook, and I really liked it. I don't, like, I know what it means, but, like, the sentence is still confusing to me. Inch by inch, it's only a cinch. Like, no matter how long it takes for you to make progress, do a little bit every day, and before you know it, like, you would have advanced.
Yeah.
That one always reminds me, if I can't work on my side as much as I want to, if I do just, like, one small thing every day,
yeah,
then I'll be where I want to be. So that one's really good when I get overwhelmed. And then another one, which makes me step out of victimhood and take responsibility for what's going on, is you are responsible for your own happiness.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's it. Like, you are responsible for your own happiness.
Right.
And then one that I always told myself and went in further down the line was, I can do anything I put my mind to.
Mm. Absolutely.
And then The last one is I am powerful. I am the master of my fate, the captain of my soul. That's it. When I start to feel scared, doubtful, I'm like, listen, I am powerful. I am powerful. I am the master of my fate, the captain of my soul.
That's from Invictus, yeah? Yes, yes, yes. A great poem. I encourage everyone out there to read that. To read that poem. Yes. Yes, it will change your life. That's awesome. That's awesome. What books? Are there any books that you've come across that have been kind of like critical for you for your journey?
Yeah. I mentioned them earlier, but there's five of them. The first one is by Louise Hay, which is You Can Heal Your Life. Mm-hmm. That one was instrumental in me doing a lot of soul searching and a lot of forgiveness work with myself.
Right.
And then the other one is by Queen Afua, Sacred Woman. Mm-hmm. Lots of diet, spiritual stuff in that one, which is really helpful. And then another one, empowerment one, called The Slight Edge by Jeff Olson.
Love that book.
Yes.
Love it.
There are no quantum leaps. Like, stop telling people they're quantum leaps.
Right.
Like, it's little by little, like everyday consistency.
Right.
And then another one that I love is called The Four Spiritual Laws of Prosperity.
I love that.
Because I don't do debt. Like, one of my main goals in life is to be debt free. So that was a really good resource because it also talks about tithing, goal setting, forgiveness, and finding your life's purpose. And then another one that really helped me when I was in law school is called The Peaceful Warrior by Dan Millman.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Nice. The Peaceful Warrior. What is...
Yeah.
Just give us a little... I don't think I've heard that
one. So a friend of mine gave it to me. She had gone to law school, too. And when I first started on that journey, she was like, you need this. And I was like, I don't need this. I'll be fine. Mm-hmm. And so I started reading it my first semester. And I was like, yeah, I do need this. And it's pretty much the story of a guy who ended up being an Olympic gymnast, but he had a fatal accident. Mm-hmm. And so it talks about how he rebuilt and kind of got back on top to glory. Mm-hmm. It talks about the mental stages that he had to go through, meditation, controlling his body, his diet. So it just talks, it's pretty much a hero's journey.
Nice.
Like, it's your life, like a hero's journey, all the things that you have to go through to get back on the path and ultimately find your destiny.
Awesome. I'm gonna make sure to have links to all of these books in the show notes so that people can, you know, go straight and get the resources that we're talking about. So that'll be something for right after. Now, finally, where should people go to find it? Because I'm sure that after this conversation, people are like, please, I need more BD in my life.
Yes.
So
I can tell you that.
Okay, where can people find you, learn more about you, connect with you?
Okay, so my main, like, digital home is www.omgiloveyourhair.com. And you can also find me on YouTube through my site. And I also have a Facebook page. That's the same thing. OMG, I love your hair. Everything is the same brand.
Nice.
And you can check out my website. I have two new books coming out as well as a speaking series.
So oh, nice. Two new books. When are the books coming out?
Probably by the end of the year, 2015.
Okay.
One is called She Took the Leap.
Uh-huh.
And the other one is Secrets of a Confident Woman.
Oh, okay. Very nice. We'll have to have you back so we can talk about the business side of things. Right. The entrepreneurial side of things, like how you came to, you know, put your business together and where you are. And yeah, we're definitely going to do that. Like, book that. Like, that's definitely happening. Just parting words, I guess. You have any parting words for our listeners? Anything that you know, like a message or anything you want to make sure that they have or they take away from this conversation?
I think the thing that keeps coming back to me is don't wait. I used to have this thing, I'm going to start my blog. I'm going to start my blog. I have so many good ideas, and a year would go by.
Yes.
And I'd be like, really, B? A year just went by. It was kind of like one of the quotes that's been circulating on the internet is a year ago, you wish you would have started today.
Yes.
And so that's what I always say to people, no matter what the idea, no matter how much work you think it is going to be, start today. Do something small towards that dream or goal that you have.
Yeah.
Like, get started. Do it now.
Right. I love it. I think that's a perfect way to wrap up. So we're going to stop the conversation. We're going to wrap up so that people listening can get started and do it now. Thank you so very, very, very much. This is great. This is awesome. And I'm sure it's going to be of value to the people listening. So thank you, Bibi.
You're welcome.
There you have it, folks. That was the interview with BB. I listened back to it while I was editing it, and I was just thinking, like, what a rich conversation, you know? What a rich, rich conversation. And I will definitely do what I said and have BB back to talk about the business. But I think just, like, the personal life, real life things that she talked about, going through painful situations to learn and all of this is just, you know, like, that's real life. And yeah, you got to get started on that which you dream about. For me, I'm inspired. Having listened to it again a couple months after we had that conversation, I'm definitely inspired. So hopefully you have derived something from it. You got something. You're taking away something from it. We're looking forward to more stories like this. Looking for more people to interview. So if you have an interesting story or business or cause or anything you think the Gist audience might be interested in, hit me up on the contact page, on social media. Just get in contact and let's get your story out there. I'm going to leave you with the song because I know that you guys want to hear it again. we're gonna head out with some Burna Boy. Again, it's the Fast 45 pick of the week. Burna Boy, Sokay, we're going out with it. Have a good week. And until next time, it's Lola. Make sure to check out www.gist.com. That's GIIST.com for even more good stuff. Till next time.
They ask me you, they want to know at least they go for my country you. Don't go low, people don't go low, and G-Suru. No easy, no money you, no life to you. But anchor, you know the flow. If you vex you, then go come up, then go call me you. Carry you go, and I battle you me or shama. And I battle you, never battle you me or shama, lama. And I battle you me or shama. And I battle you, never battle you me or shama, lama. Shaking key, base, okay. Shaking them off, faster. Shaking key, base, okay.